This podcast is not intended as a substitute for proper diagnosis and medical care by a qualified veterinarian. Furthermore, the views expressed in this podcast are those of our hospital only and are not intended to represent the policies and practices of other animal hospitals. Before we get to today's episode, I'm popping in to say that at the time we recorded this interview, we were still practicing physical distancing because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Recording remotely, while advantageous at a time such as this, presents some technical difficulties, including audio artifacts which you may notice during this episode. We don't feel that it detracts from the quality of information presented in the interview, however, and we ask for your understanding. And now, on to the episode. Hello and welcome to the Animal Hospital of North Asheville podcast. I am your host, Gretchen Harwell. Joining me today for her first interview is a very special guest, my boss and our new hospital manager, Sierra Allen. Welcome and thank you for joining me today, Sierra.
Hi, thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. So today our topic is the love of vet med, because this episode's coming out just after Valentine's Day. Everybody's feeling the love. Let's talk about what we love about veterinary medicine.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. So first, we're going to do our little getting to know you questions. And for your first interview, I always start with, where did you go to tech school?
All right. So I went to LMU, which is known as Lincoln Memorial University, for my associates for tech school. And then I went to the University of Tennessee for agricultural business.
Okay. That's an interesting degree. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that degree means and what it is?
The agricultural business one?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm pretty much a farmer. But I don't say that I have limited farm experience. It was more so focused on the business side of things. It just happened to be that UT Martin, which was where I technically it was affiliated through, has a big agricultural spectrum. And so I learned a lot about how to manage a farm, be it a cattle farm, horse farm, goat farm. And so I know a lot about those things, but in turn, it was able to kind of correlate with small animal medicine and business as well. But yeah, it ended up being agriculture. So I'm a farmer.
Right. Well, that's really cool because that gives you some management education, which is helpful for your position with us. So that's awesome.
Very true. Yeah.
And what was it that brought you to Asheville?
So I'm originally from East Tennessee, Kingsport, Tennessee, where I worked as a veterinary technician since the age of like 16, or started out as a kennel assistant and kind of moved up. But my fiance, Daniel, works at the Tryon International Equestrian Center, nothing to do with horses, everything to do with IT and the technical aspect of things. And so he was able to get a job there, and then it just kept going and it kept going. And after a couple of years of long distance, he was like, "You want to move?" And I said, "Sure." I've always loved this area. We always visited Asheville. And so, yeah, it was meant to be. And I absolutely adore the community and the environment. So it's a great place to live.
Yeah, that's great. And we're so happy to have you. So I introduced you as our new hospital manager. How long have you been with us at the Animal Hospital of North Asheville?
I think it's been 3 weeks.
That's right. Just about. Yeah. Well, I can speak for myself and everybody else. We are thrilled that you're there.
Well, so. I am so happy to be a part of this team. You guys are absolutely amazing. And I hope I can make you guys proud and give you what you need.
Great. Okay. So for our main topic, we're just talking broadly about vet medicine. And, most people know that a veterinarian is a doctor for animals, but not everybody knows just how broad this field is. Can you go into this just a little bit about, you know, what it is, what are the different areas, and kind of so on from there?
Sure. Absolutely. I think What's been really cool is starting in this field when I was 16, now 29. It's pretty awesome to see the growth and the transition that it's had. When I was 16, veterinary technicians, be it a RVT, LVT, whatever, they weren't really around. Like, there were schools for it, and there were people, getting those degrees and coming to those clinics. In East Tennessee, there wasn't a lot of them.
Right.
But it's been cool to see that transition from, okay, wow, there's not just we're not just holding animals, we're not just drawing blood, doing surgery. We have this huge educational background that's established for a veterinary technician. And when I say huge educational background, I mean there's 2-year programs, there's 4-year programs. All the students, once they've completed their technical work and their schooling, we then have to sit for a national board exam. And if you don't pass it, you don't get licensed and you're not an RVT. So there's a lot of pressure and responsibility. And what's cool is we actually have a vet tech program kind of in our back pocket in Asheville. Asheville Buncombe Technical Community College has a vet tech program, which I'm an instructor there too. So it's really cool to see people that are inspired by this field and then get the educational background on top of that and then become awesome RVTs. And too many times we get the kind of the stereotype of we're playing with puppies and kittens all day. Well, that's the believe it or not, Gretchen, that's actually not true.
Wait, that's not what you do all. That's what I do all day when I'm at work. I find the puppies and kittens and I put them in my pockets.
if only that was our job.
That's right.
No, it's way more than that. Although we do definitely take those moments. Today there was this gorgeous like Yorkie puppy and I just had to hold it. But ultimately, no, I mean there's so many different avenues as well, not just small animal, being it dog, cat. There's agriculture, livestock, zoo, animal medicine, like wildlife rescue. There's research, there's working in oncology, working in surgery. I mean, there's just so many different avenues that I feel that, like I said, over a transition and over time, people have become more aware of it, but there's still a lot that we need to do and a lot that people can learn about it.
Right. And it's like you mentioned, back when you were in school, people, you didn't know about these avenues that were open to you. I went to school up in Ohio, and I went to a school that was actually housed a research facility.
Wow.
And I had no interest in working in research, but there it was, and it was an opportunity, and it was just a different area that I never even knew that we could do, And then I worked at a surgery referral hospital for my first real RVT job. I'd had a couple jobs before that that I don't like to talk about, but I worked, and I thought as soon as I walked into that place, I just, like, my heart found its home, and I thought, well, this is what I want to do forever, and I was just like, surgery is my jam. And I frankly had ha not had very many good small animal jobs. Like, I had bad bosses, if I can be completely honest about it. And so I didn't have the love of small animal medicine, just general practice, that I do now, because I hadn't had good bosses. And I had a great boss at my first surgery job, and I was like, well, this is it. This is what I want to do forever. And then when I moved here and working in surgery alone was no longer really an option, I found the Animal Hospital of North Asheville, and I was like, oh, this is a breath of fresh air. This is a place where, like, we practice good medicine. We still do a lot of surgery. We do complex surgeries. I get to be involved with a lot of very cool stuff, but also it's not just so specialized. And finally, it was like, oh, this is a thing. But yeah, I mean, until you go into school and you kind of have your eyes open to what's out there and you learn just how much there is to learn, well, then, the whole field suddenly gets so much more broad, like you said. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, what's really cool is you can incorporate not only your love of animals and compassion for animals and empathy for clients, but you can also then sprinkle in a little bit of medicine and AMP and physiology and how things work. I mean, you know, the heart is the coolest or one of my favorite organs. And, you know, yes. It's Valentine's Day. So I love it. I love my heart. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
But the science and the physiology of why things do the things they do and the hows and all that. I mean, that's just so cool to be a part of a community of licensed technicians where we get that. Now, let me also say there are many nurses out there that aren't licensed, and you know what, that's okay, because it's kind of like if you have that it factor, there's some amazing nurses out there that don't have the letters or the licensure behind it, that we kind of just need to go ahead and grandfather them in because they're so amazing. But so just kind of disclaimer,
right.
There's some awesome ones out there. But yeah, I mean, if anybody's ever interested in kind of pursuing a career and wants to have that educational background for it, I mean, the sky's the limit with that for sure.
Right. Right. And we'll get into this a little bit later, but you're not kidding. The sky really is the limit because we can be specialized. There's so much more to go into. So you mentioned one kind of a lovable myth earlier about, like, you know, is our day all puppies and kittens? So let's just go with a couple more of those. So you already said we're not just all puppies and kittens. Are you in it for the money, Sierra?
No.
No.
No, I am. I think that we have to be realistic about these things, and it does kind of stink that the financial amount that veterinary technicians make compared to, say, you know, a human nurse is not the same. But I will say this, in hopes for the future and seeing that transition, I mean, you know, veterinary technicians getting paid in East Tennessee, you know, $8 or $9, moving to North Carolina, that's not really the case. It's definitely up a lot more. So that's great. And I think that the more this vet tech community globally becomes a thing, we can encourage and build each other up. And just honestly, it's people knowing what we do, it's people respecting what we do, and knowing that, hey, I mean, these people are working the bums off. They should be paid right. for it. You know,
right.
The amount of hours that we put in, I've needed to go to the bathroom for the past 8 hours. I haven't got a lunch break, things like that. So, I mean, I'm really excited because I think the culture of that is changing. But ultimately, I mean, no, we don't get in this for the money. We really just get in it for the love of animals, the passion for the medicine, and the connection that we get to build with our clients.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a really, I like the way you put that. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I've had well-intentioned friends and family members, you know, look at what I do and they say, well, why would you just want to scoop poop? Or why would you just want to be like the one that holds the dog for the doctor? So let's talk about this one. Can you bust this myth for me? Is that all we do?
100% a myth. 100%. Now, let it be known that ain't nobody too proud to pick up a mop or to pick up poop, especially right. at the Animal Hospital of North Asheville.
Exactly.
Exactly. But even that person that's picking up the poo samples outside, I mean, that every person has a purpose and it needs to be done. So every aspect, every position in a hospital, be it from a kennel assistant to even to the doctor, to the hospital manager, I mean, we all have our important roles and they mean so, 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 so much. So yes, registered veterinary technicians are going to help you restrain. Assistants are going to help restrain. But guess what? That restrain can be the difference of diagnosing a patient with a proper symptom, with a proper disease. It can be the difference of an animal getting medication, properly. I mean, so much more than just holding.
Right. Having the proper restraint can get the proper treatment into or for the pet. You know, it
Absolutely.
comes, yeah, it comes right down to it. And it can help keep the pet more safe. You know, I mean, many times we love to have the owners help us by, you know, being at the, being, talking to their pet, petting their pet, et cetera, et cetera. But there are some animals that are scared and they need to be held gently and firmly in a way that they don't hurt themselves. They don't try to jump off the table, for example,
Yeah.
things like that. And, you know, we don't like the word restraint for that because that makes it sound like we've got them in shackles. But really
Right.
what we're talking about is just keeping them safe and preventing injury and things like that. Because, you know, I've had my own pets fall off the bed and get hurt.
Oh,
And so,
yeah.
you know, I mean,
Especially our geriatric patients. My dog, I have three dogs. One of them is 16 years old. She's a pitty, and walking's like already hard for her. So, yeah, she needs to be held, restrained in a proper way so that she doesn't get hurt.
right, exactly. Okay. So following up on the fact that we are not just restrainers and, you know, we don't just scoop the yard, although we certainly do that. What exactly is, I've heard, you know, we there are different states use different initials, et cetera. So what's RVT, LVT, CVT, and kind of what goes on with that?
Sure. So I can't speak for a lot of the states because ultimately I think up north they may say CVT. I'm not sure, but in the state of North Carolina, going through schooling, passing your national board exam, then taking an additional test through the state of North Carolina, which goes into details about laws, do's and don'ts. It's a wonderful read. But an RVT is a registered veterinary technician, and there are licensed veterinary technicians. And technically in Tennessee, we're called licensed veterinary medical technicians, and they're CVTs for certified veterinary technician. Now, those are all different, but they all mean the same thing.
I know, I only know one state that uses LVT, and that is New York State. But I,
Okay.
you know, and like, I mean, but that's the only one. I don't know, you know, and I mean, everywhere I've been licensed has been an RVT state. But like you say, it's the same job, just with different letters.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we know that we're all the same state by state, what does an RVT do? What is our job?
All right, so as an RVT, we take our basics that we've learned on restraint, on dabbling a little bit in medications and client connection and education, and we just kind of expand on that. So when we talk about and we kind of use RVT and nurse interchangeably, I think the reason why that's been done over the years and over the decade is because we kind of act like nurses in the fact of we get the patient in the hospital, we triage, we get vitals. So that's a temperature, respiratory rate, heart rate. We check capillary refill time. We go through the whole shebang.
Right.
And, we are trained to notice any abnormalities, such as an arrhythmia, so an irregular heartbeat. We can notice that. And not that we're diagnosing those animals, but that's information that we can then tell the doctor, and we're all a team and we all correlate together. Also, being a nurse, we can be a phlebotomist in the fact that we can draw blood and we go ahead and just run that either in-house if we're having an emergency or send it out if we just need kind of yearly blood work to check things internally. We can also place IV catheters. We can do central line placements, which is basically a really big fancy catheter. It's just in your neck, which is kind of alarming. We can do epidurals, just so many different things. So with that, we have dentistry, which, gosh, that is a topic that 14 years ago, like people were like, yeah, you should brush your dog's teeth. But now it's like, okay, let's go ahead and schedule a dental because it really, really matters. I mean, if you think about the buildup of of bacteria. And I mean, dog's mouth and cat's mouth can be kind of dirty sometimes. And if we can get that bacteria out of there, then they're not constantly swallowing that. And ultimately, it works systemically. So it decreases heart disease, it decreases kidney disease. I mean, just the list goes on. Not only with that, I mean, we're taking x-rays. We're also assisting with ultrasounds. And what's nice too is you can become certified in ultrasound. We are anesthetizing patients. We are scrubbing in during those surgeries to help with surgery. And I just there's so many different avenues. And what's nice in veterinary medicine is 9 times out of 10, we're not having to wait on insurance to process and go through in an emergency situation. We can just kind of get through all those things and all those diagnostic tests that a client's animal may need.
Right. Yeah. And you know, all of those things that you mentioned, it's unlikely to do literally every single one of those things in one of our days at work, but it's not unheard of.
Correct.
You know, I mean, I spend most of my days in the lab. So I provide nursing care to the patients that are in our kind of ICU area. I do blood draws quite a bit. I place a lot of IV catheters. I take more x-rays than I care to think about sometimes. You know, if we have sedation procedures, I will go back and sedate them. You know, we have a dedicated crew of dental technicians. So that is not one of my jobs, but it certainly used to be in prior hospitals where I worked. You know, and so on any given day, a single technician might, it's not inconceivable to do literally all of these things in a day.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And I probably should have said this at the beginning. I mean, most of my background is in emergency medicine, and sometimes at emergency hospitals, your staff is a little smaller. So you are kind of hitting all of those different avenues. You're triaging the patient, you're getting it to the back, you're drawing blood, you're popping some x-rays, you're going to ultrasound. And then there's, specialty hospitals where they also have MRI, CT, chemotherapy, so oncology present, so much.
I mean, it really, it just kind of feels like the list goes on for the things that we can and frequently do. So that too. So you mentioned specialty hospitals, and I want to talk a little bit about there is a thing called a veterinary technician specialist.
Yes.
And so let's talk about what is that?
So that's basically taking a registered technician and having them be able to focus on one specific avenue that, say, they're passionate about, or they work in, and go through rigorous case studies and write-ups and again, a board exam to become specialized in that said direction that they're passionate about. So, for example, emergency critical care is a specialty. And as much as I say, like, I want to get that, you have to be in emergency medicine and worked in emergency medicine for a minimum of 5 years. So after you've worked for 5 years, you then can start that process, which is, I mean, that's a lot, but there's respect in that because 5 years, that's a lot of experience. You've learned a lot, like you're ready to be specialized in that. And let me just say, anybody that specialized, I mean, kudos to you because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of writing up case studies. The exam is pretty intense. But not just emergency. I mean, there's dentistry, there's nutrition, there's surgery. And so if you
Anesthesia,
anesthesia, absolutely. And I think too, we have, along with this transition from 14 years ago to now, we have the medicine has just grown dramatically, and there's many, many hospitals around that do a lot of surgeries, and we have specialty hospitals. So there's a lot of value in someone if they want to become specialized in a different avenue, which is pretty cool.
Yes, I have a very close friend who has a VTS in anesthesia.
Very cool.
And I mean, she knows more than Some of the first vets I worked for, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
I will not say she knows more than our current doctors because I love our current doctors. But boy, let me tell you, I mean, there's stuff that she will rattle off about drugs and about, our pre-anesthetic cocktails and things like that, which for the record to our listeners, I'm not talking about things that we drink prior to administering anesthesia.
Yes,
Talking
please.
about drugs that we give to our patients. But she will just come out with this stuff and the stuff that she knows, like what drugs might cause this or that arrhythmia in a patient. And what doses are least likely to cause that and that kind of thing. I mean, the things that she knows. And when she was doing this process, I think one of her case studies was about some crazy surgery in a red panda. And I
Okay.
was just like, oh my gosh, like this woman just, I have so much respect and love for her for, A, because she's a great friend, but because of just what she does and what she knows. And recently she and I were talking and she was like, yeah, she's been working in emergency and critical care for the past, I don't know, a few months to a year. And she was like, yeah, I think I'm thinking about doing my VTS in ECC too,
Yeah.
but she's got other stuff going on that she just can't commit the time right now. And it's just like, I mean, like this woman, it's just amazing. Like the things that people can do, it's incredible.
Yeah,
So.
absolutely. And it's, you talked about, she was talking about time consuming. Yeah, it's really, really, really time consuming. And you have to write all these big reports and case studies and the whys and the hows. But yeah, it's 100% worth it, and the knowledge that they can then spread and share to the rest of the hospital, to the rest of the staff is awesome. I actually, the first emergency clinic that I worked at was the Airport Pet Emergency Clinic in Blountville, Tennessee, and our main trainer was certified in emergency and critical care, and she just basically came up with a full training protocol and basically how we ran the hospital, and it's still there to this day, and it's pretty amazing just the educational components and building and kind of molding, I guess,
Yeah.
people into this field, and it's awesome.
Yes. And also this is sort of tagging on to something you mentioned, you said in the last 14 years. I think another thing that has changed for us, I've been at it slightly longer than you. I've been doing this I guess 18 years now.
Yeah.
But even in that time, as we come up, I think a lot of what changes how we are viewed is how doctors view us
Sure.
and how they are able to utilize us. I think before there were many RVTs and LVTs and CVTs out there, doctors felt like they had to do everything. And so that's where they got that image of us just, we just hold the dog.
Sure.
And so, as younger doctors came up and they were trained to properly utilize their technicians and support staff, we were able to sort of shine more. And
Absolutely.
and then it's like, oh, no, we actually can do all these things. Like, yeah, I can look at that blood smear for you and I can tell you if there's enough platelets. It's things like that that they used to have to do because there was a shortage of technicians. And now that there's more and more of us, more avenues are open, like you've said, that like, the things that we're trained to do show up more. And so then, everybody kind of gets a boost from that.
Absolutely. And I think that that directly plays into trust. Our doctors have to be able to trust us in making those judgment calls. I mean, there's, and we're a team at the end of the day. We're absolutely a team. And yeah, doctors were having to do everything. And now they can see more patients efficiently, and
Right.
they're more productive with that, because we have technicians that are trained to be able to get orders from a veterinarian and follow through with those. What's also pretty cool is being able to have an ICU, an intensive care unit, and having our technicians in there to monitor and watch those patients overnight and pick out any like, oh, this dog don't look too good, or yeah, we're doing great, we're finally eating. And ultimately, I mean, working in emergency medicine, I worked overnights, and the doctor would be like, all right, I'm going to see other rooms, or hey, I'm going to go lay down for a little bit. You good? And it's like, yeah, sure. And there's been a couple times where I have to call and say, hey, things are not going good right now.
Right.
But it's on, yeah, you know, it's on me to, or us to make sure that, that things are follow through and treatments are there. And that trust takes some time. And I think that, again, with transition, with really respecting the educational background and structure of a registered technician, I think that there's been able to be that trust. So when we get applications for our hospital and we see that they're licensed or they've had some schooling or in school, we go, hey, this is great. This shows dedication. This shows that you're passionate about it. You take it very seriously. And that can definitely play into building trust with a doctor and the rest of our staff.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And so I feel like you just kind of answered my next question already, but you know, what do you wish people understood and knew about our work?
Gosh, I think that ultimately it's moving in a positive direction, because we focus so hard, especially at North Asheville, on client communication and client education. I mean, ultimately, mm-hmm. if we didn't do that, we didn't do our part, then nobody would really know what they would need to do with their dog or cat. Especially a puppy. Like, hey, do you know, it's just like a human child where we have to give boosters of vaccines, we have to protect against parasites, and so on and so forth. And, you know, hey, if your lab puppy swallows a sock, yeah, we're gonna help you take care of that too.
Right.
So right. I guess, you know, I wish, and to the world's defense, I don't know exactly what a plumber does. I just call the plumber and say, hey, fix this. Thank you so much. I respect, could never be a plumber.
Right. No, that's actually a very fair point, is that, you know, you're right. I don't know. I mean, I have a broad strokes of what a plumber does, the same way, you know, your average Joe on the street probably has the broad strokes of what I do, but there's probably a lot of nuance in that job.
Absolutely.
That I don't understand.
Absolutely. And we can at one minute be helping and educating a client on what to do with their puppy, and then a hit by car comes in, or right, a stray cat that was hit by a car, and that's all hands on deck. And so you have, and let's say that doctor's in an exam room. Well, you've got 3, 4, however many people that are immediately going to assess that emergency and get what that patient needs, not necessarily prior before the doctor, because we don't, you know, we can't do anything without, you know, kind of doctor's orders. But as registered technicians, we can assess that patient, maybe go ahead and place an IV catheter, kind of get things rolling and going while we're
right,
notifying the doctor. And I mean, ultimately, that can be the matter of life and death for that patient sometimes.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so this is kind of a softball question for you, but what do you love about veterinary medicine?
Gosh, that is, there's so many different aspects of what I love about my job. And I think what's really cool is being a manager is I have the ability to, do the manager stuff, which is cool, but I have the ability to get on the floor, help with surgery, help with treatments, really just kind of every avenue. I don't know. Let me take the trash out. I'll mop for you. But I think what I love the most about veterinary medicine, if I really had to sum it up, is culture, meaning that we have this group of awesome, awesome people from different aspects, from different places around kind of the country, and we all get to come together for the same thing. And when you have a great group of people that can really jive together, have a good time, cut up, laugh, hoot and holler, but still be efficient and get the job done, that's pretty darn cool. So I think the culture is number one. I think that community is number two, because ultimately we've got to give back. We've got to be a part of the community. We've got to provide that service to the area that we live around. And then also ultimately what we're here for, which is connection. So we're making a connection not only with the patients, which we love, but also with the clients. I mean, we're educating on their new puppy, like, congratulations, mom. But then we're having hard conversations like emergency procedures or the hardest conversation, which is euthanasia. And, you know, some people don't agree with that and some people do. But those people that do and come to us for that service, I mean, that's kind of the last time that we're going to be with those people. And that's such a big connection. So culture, community, connection, I think those, if I had to sum it up, three words of why I love veterinary medicine.
I think that's a very, very good answer. And then do you have a favorite vet med story you'd like to share?
Gosh, I don't know, Gretchen, you've got 18 years. I've got 14 years. We could probably talk for an hour about all these stories, but I think one of my favorite stories is in emergency medicine. There was this big dog that came in. It had a GDV, which means gastric dilatatus volvulus, meaning that their stomach twisted. And it was just a big old balloon basically in their abdomen. And that's an emergency. Stop what you're doing. Immediately assess that patient, get it into surgery, kind of all that. But what was pretty interesting is it also had pericardial effusion, meaning that there's a sac around your heart. Okay. And sometimes that sac can get mad and because of maybe, like, I don't know, a tumor on your heart. And when it gets mad, it can build up fluid. And that fluid pretty much stops your heart. If you took your heart, it's trying to move, right? And it goes in this ball of fluid. Well, it's not going to move efficiently. So this dog that has this GDV comes in, its heart's like stopping on the way in. We notice that there's pericardial effusion. Well, the doctor does. And then it goes into respiratory arrest, meaning it stops breathing. So I tell the doctor, hey, I'm going to start manual ventilation. So we pass an esophageal tube and we start breathing for the patient. The heart is still going. Well, then it starts to stop. So we start CPR. And of course, this never, you know, never these things happen at a normal time where you have a lot of staff. It was like 1 a.m. And so we start chest compressions. We're doing all the things that we need to do for CPR. My doctor asked me to stop on chest compressions. He does what's called a pericardial syntesis, where he removes the fluid with a needle and syringe, removes all of that fluid, about 50 mLs from the pericardial sac. So that fluid around the heart, he removes that. And so we're all stopped and just like staring. And he removes that and he says, okay, continue CPR. So we continue CPR and he's like, okay, let's go wrap up this GDV. We get in there, we do the GDV surgery. Mind you, we're assisting kind of, you know, the whole time with things. Right. The heart does start to pump again. And so we don't have to finish chest compressions. And we did that before we got into the surgery suite, but I'm still manually ventilating because the owners wanted to continue to go. We untwist the stomach, get out of surgery. The dog's heart's beating properly. The dog is breathing by this time. And long story short, the dog leaves 2 days later and walks out.
Isn't that amazing?
And I'm just like, now also during the CPR, there was the clients where they came to the back, which is fine. But they were scared. They were emotional. They were 100% freaked out. And so there's a lot of pressure, when people are watching, but
yeah, you gotta be cool under fire in situations like that.
Absolutely. Now, did we fix the twisted stomach? Yes. Did we remove fluid? Yes. Is the fluid potentially going to come back because of other various reasons, sure. But in that moment, that was the most teamwork I've ever seen. And there was four of us, including the doctor, and that doctor is absolutely phenomenal. And I just am like, man, I think that was the coolest thing I've ever seen, is just like, okay, let me remove this fluid. Okay, now the heart's going to beat again. It's like, whoa,
right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that one was kind of extensive, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a really cool story. And it has a happy ending, which is even better.
Yes, so. Absolutely. And maybe to some people that are, you know, in veterinary medicine, if they're listening to this, they're like, but wait, what about the, I'm also leaving out a lot of details.
So. Oh, sure. You know, I'm the kind of technician who is always surprised when people don't want to hear my gross stories. So, it has taken 18 years, but I'm finally to the point where I'm like, I learned to not tell people all of the gory details, because as it turns out, not everybody wants to hear all of it. And so,
absolutely. They, do you, I mean, all the time I think we get, I don't know how y'all do this. I couldn't do what you do. Yeah. And that's actually pretty darn true. I mean, it takes a lot. And I think that, you know, some of the other experiences that I have, not to kind of be grim, but sometimes our clients don't want to see that side, don't want to see the passing of their pet. And so it's kind of our job as nurses and assistants and veterinary staff to kind of fill that void for them. So, if a client is uncomfortable and doesn't want to be present for the passing of their pet, I mean, that's where we get to step in, and it's hard. I mean, it's,
yeah, oh, it is.
And some of them hit you harder than the next one. You may go home or cry on the way home and just be like, oh my God, that was so intense.
Yes.
But I mean, that's kind of that last act of compassion that we can show that animal, this living creature. So, mm-hmm. You know, let's take it outside. Let's love it and cuddle it and all the things. And but I don't knock clients for not wanting to see that, because it's pretty hard. I don't think that if I was in human medicine, I couldn't do that. I mean,
right.
Mad respect for each career.
Right. Yep. No, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, and when we are there with a patient, you know, we do really treat it like it's like this really the sacred thing that it is. You know, just to be a part of their life, even for a moment. So,
absolutely.
Well, on that note, I would like to thank you for coming on and talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited.
And hopefully, oh, I think I just heard your dog bark.
Okay.
It always happens. Either my cat attacks my foot in the middle of an interview and I have to edit that out, or dogs bark or whatever. It's fine.
That's fine.
So, but thank you. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again sometime soon.
Yeah, Gretchen, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And ultimately, I mean, thank you everyone at the Animal Hospital of North Asheville for welcoming me into the family. And for our clients that are listening, I can't wait to meet you all. And thank you so much. I'm really, really excited to be a part of this team.
Thank you again.
Again, this podcast is intended for educational purposes only, and it is specifically intended for clients of the Animal Hospital of North Asheville. If today's episode has contradicted information given to you by your veterinarian, please adhere to your practice's advice and policies. This brings us to the end of the episode. If you aren't already, we'd love it if you'd stay connected with us on social media. Thank you for listening, and until next time, may your life be full of puppy love and kitten kisses.